My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Italy, to my good colleague Lorenzo Fiore in Milan, to speak of the events of these last days, where the Prime Minister, very popular, very successful, Giorgia Meloni, much in the news. First, an explanation is needed. I do not understand why anybody would speak poorly of Giorgia Meloni, but a very prominent union leader has spoken rudely of her, oddly, and I don't understand why. Lorenzo, a very good evening to you. The Prime Minister attended the Sharm el-Sheikh signing of the ceasefire deal for Gaza. She was notably the leader of the world who was not male at the meeting, and she was warmly greeted all around, especially by the President of the United States, whom she has befriended before. Why did the union leader speak rudely of her for this event? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening to all the radio listeners. I was very surprised that the secretary of the union that I met a couple of times in my life, and I consider him an intelligent man, did such a bad mistake. He used a very wrong word, very rude, very bad, against the prime minister of Italy. He couldn't define the prime minister, the first lady being a prime minister in Italy, a courtesan. Courtesan is a very bad word. Even if you Google the definition of courtesan in the English dictionary, the definition is about a woman that is paid and they have sexual relationship with wealthy or upper class clients. So, very rude word. He did a very big mistake, and I'm dissatisfied that such an important man of Italy could speak in that way. He could say a different word, maybe minion, but not that word, absolutely. Simply because of the role that Giorgia Meloni has played till today in the diplomatic effort to achieve the peace. And that was testified by her presence in Sharm el-Sheikh for the Gaza agreement.
Another matter for the prime minister is an attack on a journalist with a car bomb, and she has spoken against it. Who would do such a thing? Who is the journalist to be attacked like this?
The journalist is Ranucci. He's a very clever journalist. He's an investigation journalist. He has, since the last five, 6 years, a very important program on the national TV channel called Report. What is his investigation? His report about the things that are wrong in politics, the things that are wrong in any fields that affect the quality of life or, let me say, the level of civilization and loyalty of certain class of people. Very likely this attack could be the result of an attack by the mafia, simply because he did a lot of report about businesses that are around, for example, the consumption of drug, the smuggling of other things, and so on. Don't forget that such a journalist was under guard since 2021. So he is considered a potential target for bad things against his life.
He was not injured, however. The car bomb went off without him in the car. It's a good thing.
Now it's a good thing. He was at home. The daughter was just crossing the road where the two cars, his car and the car of the daughter, were parked just a few minutes before.
We turn to good news. I'm learning about your city, Milan. I'm learning that St. Augustine, Augustino is what you would say, St. Augustino, his remains are in Pavia. Where is Pavia?
Pavia is south of Milan, 30 kilometers south of Milan. You can reach easily in 30 minutes Pavia downtown. The stress is on Pavia, not Pavia. It was the capital of the Longobard kingdom during the Middle Age. So it was an important town. And Sant'Agostino was there. But don't forget that Sant'Agostino is very tied to Milan. And this conversion to Christianism was the result of Saint Ambrose. Because in Milanese dialect, we say Ambrose, but in Italian is Ambrogio. Saint Ambrose is the patron of Milan, and he was the one, a very important German priest that came to Milan, and he became the Archbishop of Milan. And he was the one that convinced Sant'Agostino to become Catholic.
Yes. Now, everybody asks logically, why would a man of North Africa, Hippo was the town where he was bishop, a small rural town outside of the rebuilt Carthage, why would he be buried in Lombardy? Well, here's what I know. After his death, he was buried in his hometown of Hippo. He's much honored there. This is 430 AD. Sometime later, the Vandals overran all of that part of Africa. They were Arians. That is a form of Christianity that does not believe that Jesus is a part God. It believes he's all human. That was a version of Christianity at the time. Augustino was Orthodox in believing that all of the Christ is part human and part God at the same time. He's filled with the divine wonder. Augustine also had denied all of the challenges to Orthodox Christianity, including Pelagianism, Manichaeism. It goes on and on and on. He's very important. So why he was buried in North Africa. At some point, they moved his body to Sicily to keep him away from the Vandals who were not worshiping at his church properly, according to the monks at the time. Later on, the king of Lombardy said he should be here because yes. Ambrogio is the man who converted him. So the king of Lombardy moved his body to Pavia. Is that how I say it? Pavia?
Pavia, correct.
And that's why he's in Italy. Very lucky. Now, I learned something else. When Augustino first traveled to Rome, he was told, there's nothing here for you. Go to Milan. It took 3 weeks to go from Rome to Milan. How long does it take you now if you were driving?
If I'm driving, it takes 6 hours. If I take the high-speed train, 3 hours. downtown. So now the high-speed train is a good way to move between Milan and Rome, the best.
Well, some things are good here in the 21st century that were not true in the 4th century. Now, one more detail. The wine of Pavia, what do you recommend?
Well, in Pavia there are both red and white wine. If you are in Pavia, I do recommend to have right now in this season the polenta, which is the corn flour, with Bonarda. Bonarda is a red wine, not too strong to body, pretty light, and a bit sparkling. And this is delicious, in my opinion. Otherwise, if you like a white, you can take one of the white wine from the hill around Pavia, like the Pinot Grigio, the gray Pinot, or a Riesling. Very good. There are also nice Spumante, which is the Italian champagne, that are very good from that area, which, by the way, is crossed by the Po River, the longest river that crosses all the north of Italy, from the very west to the very east.
And a toast to St. Augustino. Lorenzo Fiore in Milan. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.